We're going to be looking in, when we start reading here in the Psalms, Psalm 68, and go from there. But if I was to entitle the sermon today, I would call it Thanksgiving Connecting the Dots. We know that Thanksgiving actually began in our nation with the Pilgrims and celebrating along with the Indians a Thanksgiving to God for His bounty and actually seeing them through some tough times, a really tough winter that they had, and survived that, many of them, to go on and to bless the Lord with thanksgiving. Well, as time went on, it was in 1777 that the first national Thanksgiving was announced by the Continental Congress, before actually our government as we know it today was formed, before that happened, before George Washington was the president, and before the Congress was the House and the Senate. It was just called the Continental Congress. And how they would do this before Abraham Lincoln, it was 100 years later, 1863, is that different ones, like the Continental Congress was the first, and then different presidents would announce a day of Thanksgiving, and it would be kind of just as the Spirit led. But then with Abraham Lincoln is when Thanksgiving was established as the last Thursday in November, and that's where we are today with it. And so I would like to read you from different ones, three actually, the First Continental Congress, what they said about Thanksgiving, and then I'll go ahead and read to you from George Washington, President George Washington, and President Abraham Lincoln. And so I'm going to begin reading the 1777 First Continental Congress and their exhortation to observe a day of Thanksgiving. For as much as it is the indispensable duty of all men to adore, love this, to adore, that's how they begin, to adore the Lord, to adore the superintending providence of Almighty God, to acknowledge with gratitude their obligation to Him for benefits received. Let's remember that little clause there, benefits received, because that comes from Scripture, and we'll be looking at Scripture in a minute. And to implore such further blessings as they stand in need of, and it having pleased Him, that is the Lord, in His abundant mercy, not only to continue to us the innumerable bounties of His common providence, but also to smile upon us in the prosecution of a just and necessary war, the War of Independence, for the defense and establishment of our unalienable rights and liberties, particularly in that He has been pleased in so great a measure to prosper the means used for the support of our troops, and that's what we ought to be doing too, right? And to crown our arms with most signal success. It is therefore recommended to the legislative or executive powers of these United States to set apart Thursday, the 18th day of December. So the first national Thanksgiving was in December, not in November, for solemn thanksgiving and praise, that at one time and with one voice, the good people may express the grateful feelings of their hearts and consecrate themselves to the service of their divine benefactor. And so that's the Continental Congress on that. And then we go to George Washington. And George Washington, this is 12 years later, 1789. He's now the president. The Constitution has been set in place. The House and the Senate are meeting, the Congress. And this is what George Washington says. Whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, and to be grateful for His benefits. So we want to remember that line there. That fits in with Scripture, as the other one did about benefits. Grateful for His benefits. And humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me, the President, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many single favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November. So now, 12 years later, we go to November. And of course, President Lincoln followed this order 100 years after this. To be devoted by the people of these United States to the service of that great and glorious being. I love that. The great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, of all good that is, and of all of the good that will be. Doesn't that sound like scripture? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was and is to come. All good that was, all good that is, and all the good that will be. That we may all, then all, unite in rendering unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection of the people of this country previous to their becoming a nation, for the single and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of his providence, which we experience in the course and conclusion of the late war, the Revolutionary War, for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceable and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the national one, which is the Constitution of the United States, now lately instituted, for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he has been pleased to confer upon us. And so, President George Washington, October 3rd, 1789. And then we come to President Lincoln, not quite 100 years later, 1863, right after the Civil War, 1863. President Lincoln says this, "The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with the blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed, that we are prone to forget." Let's remember that clause, along with great benefits, along with remembering his benefits. Let's remember this clause. We are prone to forget. You know, we're human. We take things for granted. After a while, we take our husbands and wives for granted. Sometimes even take our children for granted. And yes, take our God for granted. And so Abraham Lincoln knew human nature, and he's just saying, you know, we need to remember, thank God. We're prone to forget the source from which they come. Others have been added, which are so extraordinary that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. And simply saying here, you know, even the non-believers go, wow, is this nation blessed? You know, it is just an amazing thing, the blessings that have come to this nation that we really do take for granted. One, in a sense of combat, really, as God has been asked by these folks, and we'll see the blessed commanders and so forth. The air superiority of the United States was created out of a fresh idea for a fighter, the F-16. And this came through a Christian man who just had an idea in his head about a new series of planes. And in one of the wars that Israel had with Syria, they were fighting with the F-16s, and the wing was totally shot off of one, shot right off. And the fuel was leaking back. So the pilot, the Israeli pilot, when he looked back, he noticed there was a little funny lean to steer in his plane. But he couldn't see that the wing was gone. Maybe that would have freaked him out way too much, you know. But because of the fuel leaking. But that plane is designed so perfectly that he actually flew the thing all the way back to base and landed. And then everybody stood gawking, seeing that the whole wing was gone on one side of the plane. Because it was designed basically as a rocket. And it became instrumental in bringing air superiority to the United States of America. But it's, you know, these things happen through the Lord. God has blessed our nation with all of the superpower business that we've come into. It's been the Lord. And you know, Abraham Lincoln knew all about that. George Washington knew all about that. Congress knew all about that. But sometimes we tend to forget. We're prone to forget that these things that come to us don't come from human folks. They come from the Lord. Let's read on. No human counsel. No human counsel has devised, nor has any mortal hand worked out these great things that God has done for us through the years. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, has nevertheless remembered mercy. Oh, God always remembers mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November, and this is when it was established year by year from President Lincoln, as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwells in the heavens. And there we have it from President Lincoln, the establishment of Thanksgiving. So what a blessing, and what a great, great thing has been brought to us to have this day once a year, last Thursday of November, for our nation to remember the Lord. Now, we want to look at Scripture, because all of these things we've read, they just really come straight from the Scripture. And so I remind you of the clause from the Continental Congress, the benefits received. The clause from George Washington, grateful for his benefits. And then from Abraham Lincoln, the blessings that we are prone to forget. And let's take a look at some Scripture on these things. So we go to Psalm 68 and verse 19. Psalm 68, verse 19. Now, I quote this verse all the time, and so today I want us to look at it together. Let's look at this verse in the Bible here, Psalm 68, 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues, or the escape from death. Who gets us out of death? The Lord. Let's say Jesus together. Jesus. He's the one. He's the one that escaped death, that actually rose from the dead, and is bringing the resurrection to us, as we had last time and we'll continue to study. But wow, he's the Lord. And he daily loads us with benefits. So every single day of your life. Now, every day, there's evil in every day. Jesus said that. He said, the evil of today is sufficient thereof. You don't want to worry about tomorrow, because there's enough evil right now to, you know, be concerned with. And so we can go the evil way, or worry about the evil things. So many things that can kill you. It's just amazing how your imagination can get away with you sometimes. But there's also a load of benefits every day. That's what it says here, that the Lord loads us daily with benefits. And so the thing is to remember the benefits, think about the benefits, actually take that time in praise. Because the life of a Christian is really a life of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Rejoice evermore. And as we look at the benefits in each day, and not kind of center in on the difficulty or center in on the evil, but center in on him and center in on all of the benefits that he's given to us. And so these presidents and this Congress, this Continental Congress, they were concerned to at least point a day out for the whole nation with one voice, as one people, to say, Lord, thank you for the benefits we've received. We are grateful for your benefits. Lord, thank you for the blessings that we're prone to forget. We want to praise you for those things. And so that's what they're writing about here in all three exhortations on a period over 100 years. And so that's what it's about. Now, let's go to Psalm 103 and take a look at the part of being exhorted not to forget in the scripture, and also get a list of things that we can be grateful for, all of us. No matter what you're going through, you can be grateful for these things. Now, in Psalm 103, verse 1, it says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." So important to refocus, and we really need to be told again and again, because we do forget, and we do take for granted, and we are human, and somehow we like to complain and focus on those things that are evil, that have come against us, or things that are evil in the world. But oh, the Lord wants to lift us. The Lord wants us to really, really see his hand and understand his ways. And so the blessings of the Lord. Now there's a list here. And from verse 2 to 5, there's a list of things that you can thank God for today and on Thanksgiving Day, even if you feel like there is hardly anything that you can thank God for. You can thank God for these things. I had a neat experience this week that Marvin and I were together for a while. And, you know, I started to think about this psalm and the blessings. And I got to the first one, and Marvin took over and looked me straight in the eye and quoted them verbatim, as these memorized. And I thought that was really neat, kind of something to shoot for, to memorize these blessings that you can be all the time thankful to God for, his great benefits. Number one, it says, "Who forgives all your iniquities." Now, you could spend a lifetime thanking him for that one. That means, guess what? All your sins are forgiven. Yes, they are. And the Lord reemphasizes this in this very psalm. In verse 12, let's take a look at verse 12. "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." Now, if you're at the South Pole, it's 12,500 miles to the North Pole. So, if the Lord removed your transgressions as far as the north is from the south, they're only 12,500 miles away. Those things might get back to you. But he says he's removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. And there's no east pole, and there's no west pole, so that is infinite, infinite far away from you. He has said to you, "Come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them as white as snow." And you can stand before the Lord and just accept and just be blessed with the fact that you've been washed clean by the blood of Jesus shed for you on the cross. And the Lord renews that all the time through the washing of the water by the word, to let you know that that's happened to you as a Christian. And so what a blessing. What a great thing. He forgives all your iniquities. Number two, who heals all your diseases. God heals today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We've seen many healings in our church. And many times we've asked God for healing, and God has listened, and God heals us. But also, if you do suffer with a chronic thing that lasts through your lifetime, you're going to be healed of it. You're going to be really feeling good in about 100 years. I say that because I visited an aunt years ago in Pennsylvania, and she was really hurting with arthritis all through her body. She was confined to the couch. And she told me, she said, "Mark, don't worry about me." She said, "I'll be really good in about 100 years. And I knew what she was saying. Heaven's coming. And it's, you know, the Lord's going to heal all of our diseases. And they're going to be El Gono, out of here forever. And so that is a promise. And that's something that we can thank God for, and with our present healings that he brings. Who redeems your life from destruction. What that means is you're not going to hell. If you can't be thankful for anything else, man, you can thank God for that one. Years ago when I was a young pastor, I was still in my 20s, there was a man that was 26 years old. He crashed his patrol car. He was a highway patrolman, chasing a Porsche at 127 miles an hour, something like that. He flipped his car, his patrol car. And he woke up 3 months later. He'd been in a coma for 3 months. And he'd lost the use of his body from the neck down. And he lost his wife and his kids because his wife was a non-believer and she dumped him because of his situation. And there's some kind of legal thing, and I forget what it is, about that you can divorce somebody that's been in a coma longer than a certain amount of time. She did that, left him. So when he woke up with the loss of his body, the loss of his wife, and the loss of his children, and he's asking for a pastor. And so they ask little old 20-year-old me to go see this guy in the Veterans Hospital. And I'm shaking in my proverbial boots. I'm thinking, what in the world am I gonna say to this guy about what's happened to him? But I got over there, and to my shock and my wonder and my amazement and my blessing, he started ministering to me. He had become a Christian through the accident. And he says, Mark, he said, I was an agnostic and very prideful. And now I know Jesus Christ is my Savior. And guess what, Mark? No matter how miserable life might be here to me, I'm not going to hell. Do you get that? I'm not going to hell. And man, that's a biggie, because hell is forever and eternity's forever. And God's got to do what God's got to do to get you saved before you take a step through that veil, and there's no way out. And so this brother was really genuinely thankful. He told me he felt like he was in a God capsule, and I would go back to see him again and again, as much for him as for me, because of the insights and the beauty that God was giving him in saving his life. Now, I'm not saying that this is going to happen to everybody, thank God, but it does put things in perspective, doesn't it? We can thank God wholly and beautifully on no matter what evil we might feel has come against us, that he has redeemed our lives from destruction. Thank you, Lord. And then, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. All that love his appearing will receive a crown of righteousness that fades not away. And the Lord is, in my mind, kind of molding that crown as we live this life step by step, because he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. He is so involved with our lives. He is so close to us, and he is particularly watching for everything that would bless or be against us, and regulating those things and taking care with great love. I know what came to my mind in my own life, and of course all of us can talk about things that you recognize God's love so deeply. When The Passion of the Christ, the movie, came out, Sherry and I decided we need to go see it as fast as we can, because we want to be able to converse with a congregation about it. And so we went directly after a Bible study right over to the theater right over here on Catella at 10 o'clock at night to see the 10 o'clock show, The Passion of the Christ. And I forgot to eat something. And that's important for me, especially in an intense movie like The Passion of the Christ, because I've got blood sugar problems and I get weird and so forth. Without getting some protein. Anyway, we got over to the show, and I remembered this. I said, well, let's just go to the concession stand and get a hot dog. Well, they didn't have any hot dogs. Well, what can I get, you know? And I'm thinking, well, you know, all they have here is really the pretzels for sale, and that's white flour, which turns into sugar. So that was no good. But I'm thinking, oh, I have to get something. Maybe there's some protein in the mustard. You never know. I mean, I was desperate. So I got the pretzel, and we went in and sat down in the theater. I'm sitting there thinking, oh, man. And the intensity of course, the film is on the way. And this girl in front of us turns around and says, would you like a hamburger? And I'm going, what? You know, I mean, even if somebody has a hamburger in a show, you're going to be afraid to take it. You know what I'm saying? But she explained. She said that her and her girlfriends, she was supposed to buy some hamburgers for them. They were going to watch the show together. But the other girls got into the other show while she was going buying the hamburgers, and now she's in a different show. But she's got 8 hamburgers with her. So she says, you know, I don't want to, you know, be weird or anything, but, you know, these are going to go bad. So would you like one? Well, she didn't have to ask me twice. And I couldn't believe it. The Lord, He knew I needed some protein. And He provided that. Isn't He something? It's awesome. And I bet every one of you that know the Lord can come up and share something like that, where He showed you how much loving kindness that you've been crowned with, and how much mercy is in your life from day to day living. He daily, let's say it together, He daily loads us with benefits, and we are grateful. And so that's on the list. Now the last thing on the list is verse 5. It says, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, an eagle's youth is renewed every year. Every year they get brand new feathers. So it's really hard to tell the difference between a young eagle and an older eagle because they get new feathers every year. And so the Lord wants you to know that He renews our youth as we look to Him in His beneficial way, just like He renews the feathers on an eagle. And that happens eternally with us. Is that, you know, the outward man perishes day by day, but the inward man is renewed day by day. As we walk with the Lord, we become like little children. Lest you become as a little child, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. And of course, that's an inward attitude. There's a dependence on Him, a trust in Him, a joy that bubbles up. And I always love to tell about the guy that the Forest Home retreat center up there in the mountains. The first retreat I ever went to was up at Forest Home. Is it Forest Lawn or Forest Home? It's Forest Home. And one day I'm really going to get a retreat. I'm going to go to Forest Lawn, right? Anyway, Forest Home. That I always get those confused. You'd think I'd get it right after so many years. Anyway, there's this older man. And I'm guessing that he was about 90, but I was in my 20s, so it could have been a guy my age, you know. And how that goes. Anyway, he comes out and he's got a suit on that shows you he's really from a generation way back. He's got a full-blown suit at a retreat center. But he comes out and he was so attractive with his glow. He looked like a giant light bulb with an ever-ready battery attached or something. I mean, he was just glowing. And he said, every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And I remember thinking in my young 20-year-old heart, I want to be like him. I want to say that when I'm 90, when I'm 100, however long I live. I want to be able to say that. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. So you could see the little child in that man. Yes, you could. And you can see the little child in so many in our church as we are blessed and taken care of with the loving kindness as our crown and the mercies of God and getting our youth renewed day by day. The first part of verse 5 says, who satisfies your mouth with good things. When you read this in the Hebrew language or read the Hebrew scholars on this verse, and you can look that up later in your commentaries if you'd like. It is very edifying to read about this verse from the Hebrew because it really talks about God not just filling our mouth with good things, but the desires of our hearts in our whole existence. He takes such good care with the loving kindness and the tender mercies that there's something that happens wonderful in our hearts. He does heart surgery. And, of course, that's promised in the Old Testament. It's why Jesus came, to take away the old stony heart and give us a nice, new, soft, pliable heart before Him. And He strokes that heart and blesses our hearts and gives us the desires of our heart as we delight ourselves in Him. Scripture says, Psalm 37, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. And your youth is renewed, just like you tenderly taking care of your child and ministering to them and really many times desiring to give them the desires of their hearts, don't we? Yes, we do. We want the best for our kids, and we are His kids, and He wants the best for His kids. And so all these things that we can thank God for and not forget, don't forget, and to then bless Him for the blessings, the benefits received, grateful for His benefits, and the blessings that we are prone to forget, we don't want to forget. And so these beautiful things said to us as we read these scriptures. Now, I want to take us back to the first benefit and talk a little more about this, because these men that I read earlier spoke about this first blessing with a great sincerity and depth. It says this, He forgives all your iniquities. Yes, He does. And that comes through confession. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive our sins, just wash them clean, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, every bit of unrighteousness in us, so that we're beautiful before the Lord and white as snow. That comes through confession. And in the exhortation of these wonderful presidents and the Continental Congress, all three of them, written about 100 years apart as we go through history, also mention this fact in the Thanksgiving service, for the Thanksgiving service that they're bringing forth. And let me read to you now. Abraham Lincoln, and I recommend to them that while offering up the ascriptions justly due him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also, with a humble heart, bring penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. And so we can see, and this is a little bit encouraging, that Abraham Lincoln saw that even in his time, which we kind of picture as kind of a time, you know, where everybody was good and those kinds of things, that Abraham Lincoln is talking about national perverseness and disobedience. And you know, you go back to the time of Jesus, and what did he say about his generation? He said, this wicked and perverse generation. So to look around us and see perverseness and wickedness is nothing new. Narrow is the gate and straight is the way. That leads to what? Leads to everlasting life. That's not it. Narrow is the way, straight is the gate that leads to salvation. That's good. I like salvation. Yeah. Different translations. Broad is the way, wide the road that leads to destruction. So you know what? We're always going to be a minority on the planet, ladies and gentlemen. I love the sane Christian majority, but I'm afraid that's just not true, because the world is perverse, always has been, always will be. But you know, God wants to hear from us repentance for our national sins. He wants to hear from us repentance from disobedience nationally and disobedience personally. It's part of what Abraham Lincoln is saying here, and is very biblical. The confession of sin is what washes away that sin and recognition of the sin. And now that's Abraham Lincoln. Let's go to George Washington. George Washington says, and also that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications, humble earnest request, to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions. And so this really is a part of this day of thanksgiving, a part of searching hearts. Oh God, search me and know me. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And Lord, I know that the transgressions and perverseness of our nation is great, and disobedience is great as we look around, especially if you watch television. But Lord, forgive, and Lord, bring revival, and Lord, bring sweet repentance, Lord. And we thank you for your great blessings. And this is part of it. This is part of the proclamation, not just with Abraham Lincoln, not just with George Washington, but with the First Continental Congress. Let me read. And this is actually the longest dissertation on this, is in the Continental Congress one. It says, and that together with their sincere acknowledgments and offerings, they may join the penitent confession of their manifold sins, whereby they have forfeited every favor, and their humble and earnest supplication that it may please God through the merits of Jesus Christ. And this is, can you imagine Congress actually using the name of Jesus Christ today? It's so sad. Everything's backwards. Jesus Christ is only used to cuss nowadays in general. But here in the Continental Congress, the first government of the United States of America, they say that we should make supplication that it may please God. How? Through the merits of Jesus Christ. Mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, which is totally scripture, that God remembers our sins no more. And so they're actually using scripture here when they say mercifully to forgive and blot them out of remembrance, that it may please him graciously to afford his blessing on the governments of these United States respectively, and prosper the public council of the whole, to inspire our commanders, both by land and sea, and all under them, with that wisdom and fortitude which may render them fit instruments under the providence of Almighty God, to secure the United States, the greatest of all human blessings, independence and peace, that it may please him to prosper the trade and the manufacturers of the people and the labor of the farmer, that our land may yield its increase. Whoa. Boy, we can really take a note from these guys, 1777, saying that God might bless our manufacturers. God might bless our farmers through the confession of sin. In Deuteronomy, it says, if you'll keep the ways of the Lord and follow after him, you will be the head and not the tail. You will be the lender and not the borrower. But if you don't go in the ways of the Lord, God says, Deuteronomy, then you'll be the tail and not the head. And you'll be the borrower and not the lender. Right now, we owe China $1 trillion. We've been going the wrong way. It's like we're heading for tailhood right now. But the thing is, the way out, and I just pray and wish Congress understood this, is to do what the first Congress did. Repent, turn to God, ask God for help. Lord, we tried this and that and the other thing, and we're just getting deeper and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, because I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. You remember that song, anybody? Anybody remember that song? About three of you, yeah. Okay. But the thing is that, you know, we're deep in debt. But here we see confession of sin. We see turning to God and then help with the economy, the trade and the manufacturers, the labor of the farmers. And then next is the schools. To take schools and seminaries of education, so necessary for cultivating the principles of true liberty, virtue, and piety under his nurturing hand. Under his nurturing hand. God was kicked out of school in 1963. And we're told we couldn't pray anymore. And every one of us have seen the change. And what's happened to the kids? Kids have gone crazy without the Lord. Oh, my. These guys understood this. Take to schools and the seminaries of education. I had a rich blessing this week, this Wednesday night, study. Sister in our church teaches public school, and she lets herself be known as a Christian in ways that aren't abrasive or pushy. But she had six little boys come up to her and say, would you please lead us in the sinner's prayer to accept Jesus as our Savior? Public school. She says, well, wait a minute, we're going to have to wait till lunch. And they said, how come we can't do it now? She wanted to do it real bad right now. But she waited, and they waited. And at lunchtime, they went out, and all six of those boys bowed their heads and asked Jesus Christ into their lives. And that's what these guys were praying in 1777. And so that act was an answer to prayer, that the schools and the seminaries of education would have his mighty hand, and through a saint, accepted Jesus, the mighty hand of God moved again in the public school system to save six souls, despite what man would try to do. God's always going to be here, always present, always moving. And we thank him for that. And she came for prayer and asked that her job could be protected. She's already been before the board once for, you know, disobeying their politically correct rules or whatever. So there is a danger there. So let's pray for her right now. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for our dear sister that, Lord, just was moved by your spirit. And how could she ever say no to those little faces that wanted to come to know you? And it's just so wonderful, Lord, that they do now. Father, we pray that you protect her job. Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord, if she has to go through some persecution because of this, Lord, we pray that you would give her a better job with twice the money, Lord, that you would bless her again, Lord, and just cause this all to come out rightly. But Lord, she loves those kids. She doesn't want to lose those kids. And she wants to nurture them. So we pray most of all that she could keep her job. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, I need to read on a little bit here. Okay, so necessary. Okay, I read that. The nurturing hand of God in the education system and to prosper the means of religion for the promotion and enlargement of that kingdom. The promotion and enlargement of that kingdom, the kingdom of God, which consists in righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. These guys knew the Lord. That is straight scripture. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so Jesus Christ is mentioned by name, the Holy Ghost mentioned by name, by the combined force of the original government of the United States of America. The first textbook in all the seminaries was the Bible. And that's all the kids read from. I don't know how many of you know this, but Abraham Lincoln learned to read from the Bible. He would have a candle at night, and as he was growing up in Illinois, and he would read the Bible by candle, and actually strained his eyes because he wanted to read the Bible, and the candlelight was very dim. But this is our heritage. These are the people that would be very comfortable with your ideals, and would be very uncomfortable with what is politically correct today. These men would be uncomfortable, and I wouldn't wish them back right now, but I would wish the same spirit, the spirit of the Holy Ghost, the last two words I read in this reading right now, would come upon other men and other women, and we would have indeed one last rip-roarting, snorting revival in this planet before the Lord has to come and cash in the chips. And a lot of folks would get saved. That's why we're here. The Lord wants us to be ready to go for him. Well, let's think of one more thing then here. Let's think of, first of all, of a scripture was quoted earlier by, I think Pastor Bill quoted this one, and turn to it, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Promises that we read in the Bible, in the Old Testament as well as the New, belong to you and I as believers, for we are the people of God as we believe in Jesus. Now, 2 Chronicles 2:14 is a promise. It says, if my people who are called by my name, called by the name of Jesus, my people, that's you and I, shall humble themselves and pray. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14, not Corinthians, but Chronicles. Chronicles is in the Old Testament. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So I would like to suggest that you include in your Thanksgiving prayers a prayer of confession, a prayer of cleansing your own heart from any sins that you might be tempted toward, and then also for the perverseness and disobedience of the nation, which has existed, yes, in Abraham Lincoln's time and in George Washington's time. having to receive that mercy for sin. And teach your children, teach those around you about these truths that were given to us in the proclamations that established the very day of Thanksgiving. These that have through the years have said basically the same things. Grateful for benefits, forgetting not the blessings of God, and truly having a repentant heart for our nation and for ourselves in seeking His holy face. This is a promise that God can really heal our land if this is where our hearts are. There's one other thing I wanted to share here from the Continental Congress one that kind of gives you the feeling of what Thanksgiving was intended to do. And it is further recommended. Notice this is just a recommendation. They're not being pushy about this, but they have this reverence for God. They have a zeal for the house of the Lord. They have a zeal that we read about from Jesus to just further recommend. It is further recommended that servile labor and such recreation as though at other times innocent may be unbecoming the purpose of this appointment, be omitted on so a solemn occasion. And I don't believe from the tone of this recommended that we become very legalistic about Thanksgiving and very stiff. But there's an openness, there's a freedom, there's a joy with the children and through many different kinds of activities as God would lead. But when you sense there's evil present or evil things that might be want to be said or done, to really sanctify in our hearts at that time, sanctify in our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ, that is separate Him and really seek to be a light in the midst of darkness, if darkness wants to break in. So many of us go to meetings or gatherings where there's people that don't know the Lord, but they need to know Him, and they need direction. And if there's no other leadership to direct your group towards prayer and the truth about this solemn occasion, you're it. You're it. You're the one. And you don't do it by pounding people on the head with your Bible, but you recommend and you step out. Many times people are just embarrassed, but we got to get over the embarrassment and just say, you know what? This is the day to thank God. This is the day to really feel in our hearts a closeness with Him and thank Him for His forgiveness. And if there's anything we need to confess, would you allow me just to lead you in prayer? And you know, I don't think that you'll be killed for it. Might get close, but you never know what's going to happen. Sometimes folks will just say, yeah, let's pray. And then you can take them to the Lord. Pray. Have God glorified, His benefits remembered, and a solemn time to just say, Lord, forgive the perverseness in our nation. As maybe some of them want to go watch whatever that isn't really good. Oh, this is a great time for a good R-rated movie. You know, well, you know, some conviction will come. That's a good thing because the Lord is being sanctified, separated in your heart. Let's end with that scripture about sanctifying the Lord in our hearts. Let's go to First Peter chapter 3, verse 15. We'll just end with this today. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. First Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Be ready always, always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. That's a really important part, with humility. And there's a balance there that you need. Only the Holy Spirit can do this for you, speaking the truth in love. There's a meekness, humility, and respect for the people that you'll be addressing. But you go and recommend. with the First Continental Congress. Let's focus here for a minute here. Let's go and think about this day and what it means and what it was intended to mean by our forefathers. And with respect and fear, and then be ready to answer about the hope. What's with you? What's going on with you? How come you're so religious all of a sudden or whatever? Well, there's a hope in me. I'd like to give you an answer about it. His name is Jesus. Set me free. Is helping me to be sincere about him and to put my hand to the plow and not look back and to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that that work is not in vain. And I just need to share him. And I'd like to direct our meeting to what Thanksgiving really means this time. And so it says then in verse 16, having a good conscience, that whereas they that speak evil of you as evildoers, and some will, they will. They'll call you every little name that you have. Jesus freak, should we call you reverend now? Comments, before I was a preacher, they used to call me the Rev at work. Here comes the Rev, you know. It'd always be down on me. But yes, yeah, so they will speak evil of you, some of them, as evildoers. But that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good manner of living in Christ. And they will be. They'll be ashamed of themselves when they do that. And so we go with the Lord. And we seek to sanctify him in our hearts. A revival has to start somewhere. It might as well be with you. And your family can be blessed. And those little kids, just like the six little kids in public school, be eternally grateful to you as they come to know the Lord. And it's not just passed over in your meetings and in what Thanksgiving really means. God is good. And he wants to present all of his goodness to all of us and all that we touch. Amen? Hey, let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord God, for these men, Lord, that wrote these things. I'm so thrilled, Lord. I've never read all of this in context before this week. It's huge, Lord. It's a blessing. It's so confirming and affirming. And, Lord, even though the political correctness is gone way far away from this, still, we are established, we are strengthened because of your Holy Ghost. And because, Lord, we know deep in our hearts and our forefathers spoke of the beautiful necessity of remembering you, talking about you, Lord, just taking in all that you've done for us. We thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord. We pray that we'd have the greatest Thanksgiving ever. As we, Lord, just put our hearts in your hands. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand together. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord, that because of Jesus Christ, as our forefathers said, because of the merits of Jesus Christ, we can lift holy hands to you in the sanctuary. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for that gift in Jesus. Father, we just continue to ask you to lead us. If you would desire for prayer for anything, the prayer room's open. It's right over here. Donovan's opening the door right now. And may the Lord bless you. May God just give you a tremendous Thanksgiving, that you might just be overflowing with gratefulness to our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.